Hey church, we're currently in our At the Movies sermon series. Due to copyright laws, we're unable to stream this series online, so please enjoy one of my favorite sermon series from earlier this year, or be with us in the auditorium on Sundays at 9:30 or 11:15 a.m.
Welcome to the LifeLink Church podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Oh, I love that. I'm so excited to be here with you guys. I love the worship, the journey, the whole nine, worshiping and singing, worshiping through giving, and I love worshiping the word together this morning. So there's nothing quite like being with the people of God as we meet with his presence in his word and let God do something extraordinary. So I'm excited about what I know God's going to do in and through and for you today. I want to encourage you to get your notes out and get ready. God's got a lot of things. I believe he's going to do some really big, heavy lifting in our lives this morning. I'm very excited about it. I've had the privilege of already going through one of our worship journeys. I've heard this sermon once already this morning, and I'm just jacked about it. I love it in every way. I can hardly wait for us to listen to it again. I'll do my very best, and I know God's going to do something great. But I want to encourage you to really just lean in and let God talk to you today through his word, because I believe God wants to shift some things around inside of you. And that's how God actually causes transformation to happen inside our lives. And so today, we're continuing with a series we kicked off a couple of weeks ago called Christian. And we've been looking at this particular series because a lot of people refer to us as Christians. A lot of times we think about that. But we begin to study in the Word and realize that in the Bible, the word Christian was only used three times. And it wasn't even used by Jesus, and it wasn't used by the people who followed Jesus. The word Christian was actually used by the secular culture around the Jesus crew, if you will, as they tried to figure out how to describe who this Jesus people were. And so they used that. But Jesus himself used a different term. It was called what? Disciple, all right? They were known as disciples and followers, but the basic idea was that they were followers of Christ, and Jesus used the word disciple. So we looked at that in the very first week, and then we looked at the fact that Jesus said, now listen, here's how they're going to know you're actually my follower, and he gave us a single word description that people would identify us, and that was the word love. All right, give yourselves a big hand. You got that one right. I love that. In fact, you're helping me this morning because you've remembered that single word for 2 weeks in a row. I'm feeling very accomplished. Now I'm going to step out on the edge and see if you remember the two words we talked about last week, which really has to do with the function that God wants to do through us as we follow him to those around us. Does anybody remember the two words we talked about last week? Salt and light. Oh, should we just stop while we're ahead and just close early? So many people, you're like, would you really do that? No, I wouldn't. But it was sure, it's sure fun to think about for a minute. Anyway, what I want to do today, though, is actually look deeper into what God wants to do, not just through us as he works through our lives to touch people around us as salt and light, but something God wants to do in us. And so today I'm very excited about this. We're going to take a good look at what this whole Christian thing is. What's God really after as we follow him? So I'm going to ask, if you will, to go ahead and just bow your heads. We're going to pray and ask God to do something great through our studying the word together, and we're going to watch God do something fantastic. Lord, we come before you right now, and we thank you for your faithfulness. We are studying your scripture this morning, and as a result of our study, we're asking that you would let us encounter you in your scriptures, that we would hear your voice, that we would have a chance to respond to what you're doing. Now, Lord, we just take authority over every dark strategy that will cause our minds to be distracted by ideas of what we're supposed to be doing later this afternoon, or who's here and who's not here, and what are we worried about in life. Lord, we just ask that you would give us the cone of silence to all distracting thoughts, and you would give us the ability to just hear and sense what you're doing through our lives. So be with us for your glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. So when it comes to today, we're going to be looking at the power of grace and truth. But I want to start into this today by going back and taking a look at what Jesus said when he talked about the way we're supposed to love one another. He said, love one another the way I have loved you. So not just whatever you happen to think love is, I want you to love others like I loved you. So that being said, let's take a look. What does that mean? What do we see in Jesus when he encounters people? And how do we see all of these things kind of working together? Because a lot of times it's hard to just nail down what you think Jesus is going to do in setting after setting or circumstance after circumstance. In the scripture, a lot of time he surprises people. And so it has to do with how difficult it is for us to really reconcile these two big things called mercy or grace and truth. Everyone say grace,
grace.
And truth. All right, sometimes when Jesus was working with people, they were actually for example, we're going to look at one of them where a lady was actually caught in the very act of sin, and the church leaders of her day traumatized her by bringing her out in front of the whole public square to make an example out of her, and they set her up in front of Jesus, and he actually dealt with her in a way that had nothing to do with the guilt of her sin. And you're like, well, isn't sexual sin a grievous sin against God? And the answer is yes. But when Jesus actually dealt with her, it was amazing. It was like he wasn't even offended at all. In fact, let's take a look at this. When Jesus answered and began to talk to her after the people that were accusing her left in embarrassment, he looked at said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And then Jesus said, now get this, "Neither do I. Neither do I. Now go and sin no more." But think about what it must have been like for her to hear those words, "Neither do I condemn you." Think about it. She was ready to be ridiculed by the masses, ready to be made a spectacle of by leadership, all the things. And then here's God himself in the form of Christ. What's he going to say about her sin? And it's like he didn't even see the offense of her sin. He said, "I don't condemn you." I would call that grace. Can you imagine bracing yourself, being ready to hear everything that's going to make you feel horrible about who you are, and yet here's the words of Jesus himself saying, "I don't condemn you." Can you imagine what that must have felt like to her? Well, honestly, when you think of how God's spoken over you, many of you have begun to realize the grace that God has for you when he says over you, "I don't condemn you." And that honestly is one of the ways God encounters us. Other times, it seems like he's just ruthless in his pursuit of sin. Let me give you one other illustration, and this one is going to actually deal with the context of truth. And this particular message is what he's saying to the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of his day. He says this in Matthew chapter 23, verse 27 and 8. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites." Can't you just feel the grace all over that word? No, you hypocrites. I mean, he's calling them out. I mean, in front of everybody. He just goes, "You can't hide. You are absolutely hypocrites." Then he goes on to say, "You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, you are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. The same way you appear is righteous on the outside, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." What's he saying? He says, look, you are hypocrites. You know how to look good on the outside, but on the inside, you are rank with sin. Now imagine, this is the same Jesus who looked at the woman who was actually caught in the act of adultery, and that woman said, he said to her, "I don't condemn you." And you're like, I don't understand. Are you grace? Or are you truth? Because if I'm supposed to love people like you love them, I don't know how to do that. The tension between these two ideas, these two principles, or these two aspects of the way God works through Christ, it's really hard for us to get our minds around the tension between grace and truth. Is he grace or is he truth? And Pastor Dave, I'm just trying to figure it out so I'll know what to do. And so a lot of times we don't know how to figure it out. So churches kind of polarize themselves around being maybe a grace church, where the message is so saturated in grace, they focus on the you're okayness with God. So much so they never actually deal with the fact you got sin in your life. So grace, grace, grace. So much so that you just feel like, well, I'm okay. There's nothing to change because I'm okay with God. So they focus so much on that, they never actually help you walk out of sin. Other churches are so focused on sin, it's like you're a heathen, you're a sinner. I mean, I have no idea how they sound to you, but some churches, there's like the idea of grace is nowhere to be found because you are a pathetic sinner. You're just a worm. You've got no hope with God because you're so messed up. And you're like, I don't know what to do. Some of us have personalities like that. Our personalities tend to be kind or gracious, and so we're like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. Everything's okay. It's all going to be okay. It's okay. It's okay. And then others of you are like, you're wrong. It's black. It's white. And we look at this idea when it comes to grace and truth, and we see both of them working through Christ, and we're trying to figure out how do we do this, because if we're supposed to love people like Christ loved us, we got to figure out, is it grace or is it truth? And today we're going to take a look at this because I think you're going to see something in the scripture today that's going to shift the way you see these things working through Christ. So we're going to take a look at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, 10 through 12, and verse 14. We'll read it all together in a single thought. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word, God's Word, was with him, and the Word was him. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without God, or without him, the Word, nothing was made that has been made. Verse 10. He, Jesus, was in the world, and though the world was made through him, Christ, the world did not recognize him. Verse 11 says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Verse 12. Yet to all who received him, everyone say received, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, verse 14 is where we're going with all this. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. In other words, God and his Word are one. It's hard for us to sometimes get our mind around it, but the scripture is helping us understand that God and his Word are one. He is completely integrous with his Word. They are the same. Then he says, now that one Word or God actually became human form in the form of Christ, and he made his dwelling among us. Does that make sense, everyone? That's kind of hard to understand, I understand. But the truth is, he's wanting us to understand that this is God who is now living with us. He became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Then it says, we, the people who were actually following him, have actually seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father. Now watch this phrase, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. We kind of know what grace is. Grace is the kind of that feeling or the approach that says, listen, I know you feel a little wobbly about this, but you're going to be okay. You're fine. And then truth is the one who comes alongside and says, oh no, listen, you got to deal with that issue. You can't just let it go. You're going to have to deal with it. And so we're looking at all these things and we kind of know what those are. And what I wanted to do this morning is acknowledge that when it comes to grace and truth, there is a tension between those two words that often are hard for us to understand. What do we do about it? Should we act full of grace or should we be full of truth? And we don't know which one to go with. And so a lot of times we find churches or people's personalities, they just tend to be on one or the other. But today I believe you're going to see something. So I want to talk to you for a moment about the power of grace. Then we're going to talk about the power of truth, and then we're going to watch how God puts them together. And I believe this is going to be something that will be helpful to you. Power of grace. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 2, New Living Translation, through Christ we have gained access. Everyone say access. All right, if you've got the notes, circle the word gained access. We've gained access by faith into this grace. All right, undeserved privilege, acceptance, or favor. The grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So what I want us to see this morning is there is something God accomplishes through grace that is profoundly important to who we actually are. Grace. So if you're taking notes today, write this down. Grace is God's divine acceptance or favor of me. In other words, Kevin, can I borrow you for example? All right, so here's Kevin. I'm not going to ask you to come up here. But no, I'm not going to ask you to come up. So you're safe, all right? But the bottom line is, so here's Kevin. And God, if we look at this, he's basically saying, now, Kevin, we rejoice because you've gained access to relationship with God through the grace of his acceptance of you as you are. In other words, Kevin didn't have to go clean his life up before God said, I guess you're okay now, come on in. No, the grace of God said, Kevin, your life was a wreck, but I want you to know you're acceptable to me. I see you, not just your stuff. I see you. And because I love you, you're acceptable to me. You've gained access or acceptance with me. So when it comes to understanding the function of grace, one of the things that go with that is the fact that God looks at all of us, no matter where we are, and says, you are acceptable to me. I love you. I don't want you to feel like you have to earn my acceptance of you. You are acceptable to me. Now, you and I know the junk in our trunk. We know all the issues of our life. We understand what the skeletons of our closet are, right? We get all of that stuff. But some of y'all are laughing at me. Y'all get your mind out of the gutter. I'm just checking your pulse this morning to see if you're actually there. But my point is, we sometimes are so focused on our own issues, we have a hard time believing God would accept us. But God wants us to know this morning that the grace, and through grace, he actually accepts you. You are desirable to him. You are acceptable to him. Does that make sense? So there's power in grace. Grace is the expression of God's love to accept you. Now, let's talk about the power of truth. The Bible says that all truth is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. So now I want you to listen to the power of truth, because we need this one too. This is tough for us in America to actually, we're so steeped in political correctness that it's actually hard for us to see what God is saying here. But imagine what he's saying to Americans. Scripture, God's word, is inspired by God, is useful to teach us what is true. And you're like, are you kidding? Everything's true. It's all good. It's America, man. There's nothing true or untrue. There's nothing wrong or right. This is America, man. We do anything we want to do in America. He said, no. The word of God actually teaches us what is true and what isn't. And then make us realize what's wrong in our lives. You're like, you're kidding me right now. You can't tell me there's something wrong in my life. I got rights in this country. Just the idea that there could be something wrong with me is offensive in our culture. I'm just letting that settle for a minute, because it's a reality that we live in. The frog of our culture has been boiled so long, we've completely lost sight of the fact that there is something called right and wrong. There is something called truth and deception. That the Bible, God, through his scripture, is saying, I want you to know that you're experiencing what you're experiencing because parts of you are responding to something that is not true. There's something wrong with you. And you need to know it. But you won't know it if you don't let me show you what is true or not. Does that make sense? Okay. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. In other words, God is saying, there is right. There is wrong. There is truth. There is deception. And you get to live whatever you choose. You can live free if you choose truth, or you can live bound if you choose deception, but one of them is always going to give you one or the other. Truth will always lead you towards freedom. Deception will always lead you towards bondage. But we don't know that if all we focus on is just the grace of God. I'm okay. We're acceptable to God. He wants us, but he loves us so much, he doesn't just accept us. He says, I love you so much, I'm also going to show you what's wrong. Fair enough? Okay, so truth is God's divine power to expose error and deception in me. So when it comes to the issue of, okay, so I kind of understand, if you just think in individual issues, I see the desirable fruit and power of grace, and I want that. Sometimes I find myself able to actually come to the point where I can recognize, okay, I may be thinking about this wrong, and I need truth. Okay, I want that. What I can't figure out is how does grace and truth work together? Because that's what we see in the picture of Christ. So what I wanted to do this morning is give you an illustration when it comes to the scripture we read earlier, where it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. So in this example, I want you to see that grace is represented by the yellow water. And truth is represented by the blue water. And what we see in Scripture is not that God is one or the other. The Bible says he is full of grace and truth. He is full of grace and truth. He is what? Full of grace and truth. He is full of grace and truth. He is full of grace and truth. What I want you to see here, however, is that grace, which was represented by the yellow, and truth, which is represented by the blue, has actually changed its effect. What color is it now?
Green.
In other words, God in Christ, he was able to respond to a person who actually needed grace in the moment or a person who needed truth in the moment. And each person was able to receive whichever one was necessary in the moment because he is motivated by love. This is a picture of love, everybody. It's not just, you're okay. You're a worthless sinner. I love you enough, I'm going to accept you, and I love you enough, I'm going to help you walk out of sin and its destructive effect into freedom. Love. Get it? And so this morning, as we're working about what does it mean to follow Christ, what it means to follow Christ is we've accepted who he is as God, our Savior, and we're following him his way so that his love touches us with grace and keeps us coming and says, you're okay, we're going to get through this, we're good. We're good together. As long as you stay with me, I want you to know I got you covered, but you're going to have to keep coming my way. Why? Because that path leads you to destruction. Do y'all see that? But it isn't a religious structure that says, you're okay, no sweat, or you're never going to be right with God because you're such a pathetic mess. It is God saying, I love you enough to meet you right where you are, and the rest of our lives together, we're going to walk this thing out. You're going to keep working towards freedom. Do you see it? So when it comes to being a follower of Christ, there's a couple things I want you to realize. All right? Number one, if you're writing notes, take this down. Jesus, or God in a bod, if you will, was full of not the balance of, grace and truth. All right, write that down. He was full of, not the balance of, grace and truth. Full of, not the balance of. What does that mean? He doesn't approach it like we do, where I try to be equal parts grace and equal parts truth. Where I just get the balance right. He says, nope, I'm completely grace and completely truth. Now listen, and all of that is available to you because I love you. Make sense? Okay, so let's go back. We'll take a look at this. Now, what does this really mean? If you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, God is love. God is love. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, if anyone does not love, he does not know God, because God is love. All right? Now pause just for a moment. I want you to hear this. Anyone who does not love, doesn't know God, because God is love. Is this full of grace? Is it full of truth? It's all love. Now watch this. What he's saying is, what he isn't saying, let me say it that way. What he isn't saying is, anyone who doesn't know the scripture doesn't know God. It's possible to know the scripture and not know God. You can know the manual. You can have all the knowledge. You can manipulate lots of people with the rules, but not know God. And they can tell the difference, because love is all grace and all truth. You see it? God showed us how much he loved us by sending his one and only son to the world that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his son as a what? Sacrifice to take away our sins. What's he saying? Love is this. I recognize that you need grace, and I recognize you need truth, but I'm going to give it to you through love, which is going to cost me everything. In other words, this picture is all about you, not about what God got out of it. In other words, he didn't think in heaven, how can I make myself happier? Oh, I think I'll send my son to die so I can be happier. No, no, no. He recognized our plight, our desperate situation, and said, you don't have a chance at rescue unless I do something. So I'm going to love you by sacrificing what's dear to me for you. Everybody listen, this picture of love is always on behalf of the one who's receiving the love. Which is why most of the time, the grace only or truth only picture doesn't work. Because people tend to use grace only as a way to manipulate people, or truth only as a way to manipulate people. It's love that says, this isn't for me, this is all about you. There's something you need to know about either the grace of God or the truth of God, but this is for you, not what I need you to do for me. Does that make sense? Okay. And all of this has it, we're trying to figure out as we follow Christ, what does it mean to love? And today we're looking at the power of grace and truth. All right? So, number two, if you're taking notes, write this down. God, or love, is full of grace and truth for a purpose. Everyone say purpose. All right? For a purpose. What is that purpose? Well, we see in part in Romans 12, 2. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform. Everybody say transform. What's the word transform mean? Change. Everyone say change. Let God transform you into a what? New person. You used to be this way, now you're this way. Transform you into a new person by what? Changing the way you think. How does he do that? By the power of his word and spirit. Then you'll know what God's will is for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. All right? Now here's what I want you to know. God is working hard to do something for you. God is working hard to transform you. When I say he's working hard, it means it cost him a lot to do it. It cost him his son to do it. Does that make sense, everyone? And here's what I want you to realize. Write this down. God's sacrificial love, or sacrificial commitment, which is love, is to accept, which is grace, and transform me. His sacrificial commitment, which is love, is to accept, which is grace, and transform, which is truth, me. So let me just boil the whole sermon down into a sentence, because I realize this may be complicated to try to get your mind around. So write this last part down. Following Jesus will ultimately change, which is transform, who I am, which is my identity, and what I'm all about, which is my purpose. Let me say it again. Following Jesus, which means that's a disciple, following Jesus will ultimately change or transform who I am, which is my identity, and what I'm all about, which is my purpose. What does that mean? I'll use a clunky old illustration. So let's say you are a sophomore in college. You finally got out from under all the oppressive rules of your parents, and you have become the party guy. I was trying to find an illustration for the girls in the first service. I fail miserably at the girls. I've never been a girl, so I just don't get girl. But I'll try to do the guy part because that's how God made me. So, guys, so you become the party guy. People know you as the party animal. That's who you're not. You know, Fred the whatever. You are the party guy. That's your identity, and that's you're not just known as that. It's what you're all about. You're there to bring the party, bud. That's what we're going to do. Does that make sense? So, and I know this is awkward or kind of weird or clunky, but what I'm saying is who you are, your identity is what people know you to be, and what your purpose is kind of what your mission is all about. So I'm the party guy, and I'm here to bring the party. So you're laughing at me because I'm totally not a party guy. I'm married to a party on wheels. Her name is Cherie. So I probably should have her up here doing this. But my point is, do you understand what it means, what your identity and your purpose, who people know you to be, what you know life to be like, and your purpose, what you're all about? This is my agenda. This is my ambition. This is what I'm here to do. What I'm known and my purpose, my agenda. But what I'm saying is, and every one of us have this in some way, but what I'm saying is, following Jesus will ultimately change or transform who I am, which is my identity, and what I'm all about, my purpose. Okay, let me say it this way. If you're following Christ, 6 months from now, something about you should be changing. We need to feel the gravity of this, you guys, because there is a tendency for people to think of Christianity as a club you get into, and once you're in, you're kind of set for life, and it's all good, and I just go about my life. But what I'm saying is, in Scripture, we recognize that has nothing to do with what Jesus is actually saying. Followers keep following, and that means there is continual change that God is working on. Why? Because He accepts us as we are, because He loves us, and because He loves us, He won't leave us as we are. Why? Because before we met Him, our minds were mired in deception. We didn't know truth. But once we became a follower, we can know truth. Look at John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Jesus said to the people who believed in Him, "You are truly my disciples." Circle that word, disciples. "You are truly my disciples." What's the word disciple mean? Follower. Everyone say follower. Okay, "You are truly my disciple," or follower, "if," circle the word if, "you remain faithful to my teachings." What's he saying? If you keep coming my way, you're my disciple. If I talk to you about this and you come my way, you're my disciple. If I convict you about that and you come my way, you're my disciple. If I teach you about that and you come my way, you're my disciple. Do y'all see it? Nothing to do with Christian. Christian is a label that has a lot of time to do with the culture that you're associated with. Nothing to do with discipleship or following Christ. Following Christ is all about, what is it, Jesus? Yes, you have my yes. What are you teaching me about? Yes, you have my yes. Oh, I don't see it that way, but I'm not God, you're God. So yes, I'll go that way. He says, if you hold to my teachings, you are truly my disciples. Now watch this. And, or then, you will know the truth. Listen, why is it so hard for y'all to talk back to me today? Thank you. Then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. In other words, Jesus is saying, I love you, grace, to accept you. And I love you, truth, to transform you. But you're gonna have to keep coming my way. Which is why, when you're born again, you're not finished ever. I'm not finished today. I'm so desperate for this to keep working in my life that every day I get up and ask God, keep changing me, Lord. Keep changing me, Lord. Keep changing. I'm not set for life. I'm not there yet. I've got parts of me that I know because the Lord's convicted me about issues. And then there's probably a bottomless pit of things I don't know about yet that the Lord wants to change in me. And in His time, He's going to show me. And when the Lord shows me something that's out of line, I have to admit that it's sin and then go His way. Does that make sense? And if I do that, then the Bible is, Jesus is saying through the scripture, if you actually do that, then you're really my disciples and you'll know the truth, and the truth you know will set you free. Why is it so important? Because I love you. Because I love you. Because I love you. Because I love you. God has gone out of His way, doing things that are unimaginable to you and me, to sacrifice for the sake of who we are. God loves you so much that He accepts you. And so much that He's asking you to follow Him out of what's holding you back, which is sin. God loves us so much it accepts us, grace, that He can't leave us where we are. He shows us truth. So as we are accepted and walking towards Him in truth, we get to experience His love, which actually sets us free. Being a Christian is not about being in. It's not about just getting the fire insurance so you don't go to hell at the end of the journey. Being a follower of Christ is about every day, every season, the Lord's working with you on something different. What's He, Pastor Jeff, God's working right now to set you free of some things. I don't know what they are, and it's not even important. But every time the Lord convicts you of something and says, now it's time for this, it's your opportunity to say, Lord, I'm grateful for Your acceptance, Your grace that keeps me moving Your way. And I'm asking You, Lord, to show me truth so that I can keep walking out of sin in my life or out of issues that hold me back, et cetera, et cetera. Why is it important? Because God has something for me. So as we're going through this series called Christian, please understand this is a big deal to God, and it has nothing to do with religious orientations, religious affiliations, religious anything. It has to do with God, who is big, who created you, actually meeting you, you meeting Him and deciding, God, for the rest of my life, I'm going to go Your way. Why? Because I trust You. I know You love me, and You're going to lead me where You want me to go. And my heart for you today is this, that you would be willing to accept Christ. That you'd be willing to accept Christ, who loves you so much that He's full of acceptance for you. And He loves you so much that He's committed to teach you what is true, so you walk out of what's holding you down. Sin always holds us down. Sin is never our friend. But in order for us to trust that, we have to accept Christ. And you're probably like, oh, Pastor, have you had any idea what kind of churches I've been exposed to, or what people have done to me in the name of Christianity, or what Christians that I know or call themselves Christians have done to me and all that kind of stuff? And here's what I want you to know. Please listen. I realize there's a good chance if I'd have been exposed to what you were exposed to in the name of Christianity, or been in the churches you were a part of, or had done to me what somebody who called themselves a Christian did to you, there's probably a good chance I'd feel exactly like you feel. But what I also want to be quick to say is, please open your heart to the fact that that isn't Christ. That wasn't Jesus. That was a person who was confused, or a person who's manipulative, or a person who had agendas, or a person who was very religious but didn't know God. None of that was Jesus. I'm asking you, on behalf of the people who've hurt you in the name of Christianity or hurt you as a Christian, I'm asking your forgiveness. You'd be willing to open your heart and open your mind to say, I recognize that for what it is, and Jesus, what I really want is You. Because today, I realize You love me. and accept me for who I am. And you love me and will teach me how to live free. And today, I receive you as such. And that's my prayer for you today. Would you bow your heads? Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking for grace in this congregation for people to receive you for who you are. Father, I'm asking for forgiveness for all who, in the name of Christianity or religious Christian leaders, have hurt people, have abused people, manipulated people. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking today for a supernatural grace to wash those ideas out of our minds, so we simply see your love on display, who is touching our life with grace and acceptance as we are, right where we are, and the commitment to help us understand truth so we walk out of where we are into eternal life, into freedom. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, I'm gonna ask many of you for the opportunity to lead you through a prayer that can change your life forever. The reality is, many of you today actually need to receive Christ, not the church, not the religion, but Jesus, and accept him and have a fresh start with him, so that the grip of his acceptance compels you to trust him and begin to follow him. And as he says, this area we're gonna start working on, that area you're gonna start working on, you'll say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you the rest of my life as my Lord and my Savior and have eternal life. Many of you today need a fresh start. I'm gonna ask you, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you know today you need a fresh start with God, you're willing to receive Christ as Savior and Lord and start fresh, even though you don't even know what all of it means. The truth is, you just know it inside, and you know today is a decision day for you, and you're ready to say yes to Jesus with a fresh start and a fresh commitment to go his way. I'm asking, if that's you, that in just a moment when I count to three, you'd slip your hand up and say a simple prayer with me. I'm not gonna embarrass you in any way. I'm not gonna ask you to come to the front. I'm not gonna ask you to stand up. I'm just gonna ask you to raise your hand so that you can have a physical response on the outside to what you already are doing on the inside, and then we'll pray together. So if you're here today, you're not sure where you are with God, but you wanna be right with God, or you know you're a long way from God, you need a fresh start with God. If that's you and you're ready to say yes to Jesus as Lord of your life and go his way with a fresh start today, I'm gonna ask, when I count to three, you slip your hand up, all right? Ready? One. I won't embarrass you in any way. Two. Today's your day. You ready? Three. Raise your hands. Thank you. One. Who else? Who else? Life change is happening right now. Who else? Just slip your hand up. Let me see it real quick. I can see life change. Thank you. Two. Who else? Three. Thank you very much. See that hand? Four. Thank you. I see that hand. Who else? People are courageously saying, I'm changing my life today. Who else? Who else? I just feel a pause in the spirit. There's somebody right on the edge of a decision, and I don't want to rush by this for you. Anybody else? Thank you. Five. Anybody else? Just moments. Thank you. Six. I see that hand over on the side. Thank you very much. Okay, you can put your hands down. Six people today have hands lifted up saying, today is a decision day for me. All right? Everybody look at me just for a moment. Thank you for having courage to say, that's me. I'm gonna lead you in a simple prayer. And as we pray through this prayer together, I'm gonna ask that you open your mouth and you would say these words out loud, but not just words, say them from your heart. We're gonna pray these, in fact, I'm gonna ask everyone to pray together. Can we all pray this simple prayer together? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and for truth. Thank you for loving me and giving your son to die for me. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross to pay for my sins. Today, I ask for your forgiveness. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. I'm giving my whole life completely to you. I don't understand everything that means. I just know today I'm deciding to follow you. Fill me with the power, the Holy Spirit, that I'll have strength that I need to live for you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Hey, can we just celebrate with these six or seven people that did that? I love that.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.